They are fighting drugs, but they are selling drugs at the same time. They are the owners of the business of drug trafficking, and they are pretending they are fighting. So when you see all this, it becomes the reflection of the land. The crime that is happening in the land is literally has both criminals behind the crime, and even those who are supposed to fight crime, they are literally hiding in within that. So when you see these things, homosexuality legalized, abortion was legalized, the selling of drugs that are affecting women, you know, when you see these things done, it is the status in which the land is in.
The gambling.
This becomes the status in which, so if when we find out that now you are in a land, now you have found out who is the landlord. The landlord who legalizes crime. The landlord who legalizes abortion. The landlord who legalizes homosexuality. This is the landlord. The landlord who does and legalizes everything that upsets God. So you know the land that you are on. You are a settler, but you are in a land, on a land. Which land is that? In opposition against God. Because the land is a reflection of the landlord. His rules, his laws, how he behaves. The land is the reflection of that. Now the demons, the attacks, they broke into my house. Somebody hated another. Somebody is a racist against another. These are the things that happens as fruits prior to the laws, the landlord's desire. So the crime that you're seeing happening between white and black, the hatred happening, the betrayal happening, it's all a reflection of the land
owner that is making the laws that are governing that land.
Are you seeing what I'm saying now? So the trouble that is going on in the land, the distress, the committing of suicide, is the reflection of that what the landlord has allowed to happen on the land. Together so far. You're starting to get it, yeah?
It can't be. You can't fight it because it's allowed.
On the land. Now we're going to see how people fought it. Now, Daniel, when he went in Nebuchadnezzar's system, Nebuchadnezzar's system was exactly the same, which has governed it. But Daniel excelled to the level that he was the great advisor of the king. Why was Daniel that? Because he was a servant of God. So when Nebuchadnezzar now commanded that everyone should bow down to his statue, but Daniel was not commanded to bow down. Why? Because Daniel was exceptional. So the laws of oppressing certain people went out against other Israelites who were submitted and thinking that, oh, okay, let us bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, we shall not keep the Shabbat. We shall not do this. Yet they know very well as Jews, they're supposed to keep the Shabbat. But they were not keeping it because somebody oppressed them. Somebody deceived them. Somebody said to them, don't keep it. And the more they never kept what they are supposed to do as Jews, then they came under the law of the land to oppress them. Daniel insisted in tithing to God, in praying to God, and keeping the Shabbat. What did he become? He became a great leader. That even when the king, Nebuchadnezzar, needed an interpretation of wisdom and counseling, he called upon Daniel. Why? Because Daniel was excellent. So I don't want you to leave you here and you think, well, if we are in a wicked land with wicked people, then we are defeated. No. As long as you're obedient to your God, as long as you're keeping his seasons, you will excel. Not everyone, but you will excel. Now remember when Daniel was in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, all the Jews, most of the Jews bowed down to worship whatever Nebuchadnezzar was calling a god, but not Daniel. And the laws that we are supposed to suppress and oppress those who are disobeying the king could not suppress or oppress Daniel, because Daniel was not disobeying the king. He was just being obedient to the king that is above the king who is commanding him to bow down. And because he was obedient to the king, doing the will of the king, which is God, then the laws that were supposed to suppress him became the laws that were favoring him. To the level that then who made those laws? They were coming to Daniel saying, hey, you don't know what, Daniel, give us advice. Are we doing the right thing here? Are you catching what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because the land is sanctified by he. Even if I'm a loner of the land, even if I'm a settler on the land, it's not mine. Even if I'm a borrower of the land, it's not mine. But when I practice what is right on the land will now transform and start to bless me because it becomes a reflection of me. Even if I'm a settler, I can overcome the high supreme authority of he who owns the land as a landlord. And he now starts also to subject under me because the fact that I'm obedient to the laws of the God of Israel. Is anybody catching what I'm saying? Together so far? Yeah. So now we have known that God didn't allow his seasons to fall upon the land because there was no man to till the land. Okay? Yeah. So God looks among the evil people that are there and he says, I want to choose a man out of these people that can till the land according to my seasons and times. That if this man is obedient to me, I will give rain to this land. If this man is obedient to me, I will reveal the hidden treasures and minerals in the land. Luke 13 verse 18 to 19 says, then he said, what is the kingdom of God likened unto? And to what shall I compare it? Now listen, it is like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed. A mustard seed which a man took and he put in his garden. Now let me ask you a question. This mustard seed that he's taking to put in his garden, where did it come from? Where is it or its origin from? Before he puts it in his garden.
It was sown from the sower into the land, into the earth.
But where does the sower get the seed before he sows it?
From
God. Okay. So this seed now, the God who gave this seed to this man, he has commanded him what nature of the seed. He knows exactly where he needs to plant it. And he knows exactly which seasons that he needs to attain or to allow to flow in so that that seed may have life. When you come to the specifications of farming, this is how it works. There is a science, write that down. There is a science that enables the seed that is being planted to grow. Every farmer does a certain type of science. Okay? But the science that is done is the science that is given in the spirit. Science always comes from the spiritual realm. You go plant this, water it like this, fertilize it like this, and do this. That science is always a spiritual information. But it is carried out by the man doing the farming so that when the seed grows, it belongs to the science that did and planted the seed. It belongs to the origin of the science, the origin of the information, the origin of the description of the knowledge that gave the science to the man, and the man plants the seed. So when finally the seed grows out of the ground, it listens. It's the nature of the science that planted it. It's the nature of the man that planted it. It is the nature of the origin of the science where it came from to help this man to have wisdom to plant it. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Are we together so far? So they say to us that the man took a mustard seed. Where did he get this seed? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, mustard seed, was with God. And mustard seed was God himself. And this mustard seed was given to man so that man may plant. This message will be continued in the next part. You've been listening to the voice of Apostle Ngabo from the Council of Ngabo, God's Courthouse. Celebrate Uganda in the land of Ham, the land of Kush, the Pearl of Africa. I'm saying God bless.